The Hard Shoulder on News Talk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
The Shannon to Dublin water pipeline project has made its way back to the headlines after Green Party Minister Malcolm Noonan said it is needed. He claims the €1.3 billion project is necessary to make sure the supply is fit for purpose and can survive extreme weather conditions. Joining me now to discuss this is PJ Rodden, who's a consulting engineer and former president of Engineers Ireland, and Emma Kennedy, financial analyst and founder of Kennedy Analysis. Good evening to both of you. Thank you very much for joining us. PJ, I'll start with you. For those who are not familiar, will you tell us what this project is about?
It's a project which will service the, not just the Greater Dublin area, but the Eastern Midlands area, the whole area of Ireland. So you could take a triangle from Mead to Limerick to Wicklow, and it will service that part of the country. It's needed because the current position is not sustainable. It's not sustainable in resource terms or in climate terms. It's not a resilient supply, as we know, the last number of years. And I want to stress, I don't work for Irish Water. I'm not representing them here. I'm here as an independent consultant, a member of Engineers Ireland, who keep an eye on infrastructure development year on year, and I've been briefed on that from Engineers Ireland. We've had two major storms in the last year, two droughts, and the current position is that we still have to meet an ever-increasing population, hopefully when the economy recovers, also increased economic activity. And, you know, Irish Water, this project didn't start with Irish Water. They inherited it from the local authorities, from Dublin City Council, in fact. And over the last number of years, they've carried out extensive environmental studies and four rounds of public consultation, ending up with the current solution, which is on the table, to bring water from the Partheen Basin in Limerick to Dublin via the Midlands and to supply each of those areas on the way. And I suppose what it is it's striking the balance between conservation on the one hand and the need for a new source on the other, but also very much respecting the much more increasingly urgent challenges of climate change. And really, the intention, I gather, from reading all the reports, I wasn't involved in any of them, but the intention will be to be losing less water through leakage, to be using less water through conservation, and to build a smarter, more resilient infrastructure.
PJ, why is it a good idea to bring water from the other side of the country?
Well, Mark, the rain falls most in the west, and least in the east. That's the first thing. Secondly, in looking for an alternative source, I mean, the Liffey is at its limit. 40% of the river Liffey goes into Dublin water supply. And it's, you know, it can't take any more because it has other uses downstream of Pool of Fuca. In addition to that, 85% of the water, which is used, you know, as a water supply in Dublin, comes from the river Liffey. So, you know, the Liffey is at its ultimate. We have to find another source. And yes, there is groundwater there, which I can discuss in a minute. But the surface water sources would be close by, the Boyne, that was looked at, not big enough. The Barrow was looked at, not big enough. The Slaney was looked at, not big enough. The Barrow pumped into the Slaney is not big enough. And the people who did the study were being pushed further and further west until they came to the Shannon. And indeed, you know, initially it was going to come from Loch Ree on the Shannon, but no, public consultation demanded that it go, there were problems in taking it from Loch Ree. So it then went south to Loch Derg. It then, you know, we're in the fourth iteration of this to try to increase the availability of water with the lowest environmental impact. And what Irish Water are claiming now is that this particular location and this project, which is part of the National Development Plan, that this particular option gives the most benefit to the greatest number of people with the least environmental impact in the most cost-effective manner.
Okay. Well, look. Okay. This project, if it goes through and runs its normal course, is projected to cost $1.3 billion. Now, no major public enterprise project like this has ever come in on target. So I think you can safely say if they're saying $1.3 billion, you'd be going northward of that. Just doing these reports, investigating everything, surveying, etc., 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 they're going to spend $24 million on it this year and $270 million over the next 4 years. Now, we know, okay, maybe the Liffey is at its limit, but 40% of all the water from the Liffey that's coming into Dublin is going into the ground through leakage. So if they spend somewhere between $24 million and $270 million fixing the bloody leaks, we wouldn't need to spend $1.3 billion, would we?
Well, it's not as simple as that, and I don't have the costs or how they're made up available to me, nor do I need to have this conversation. But yes, projects have tended to overrun, but they've overrun for various reasons, and we won't go into that. That's a different discussion. The current estimate, I understand, is 1.3 billion. I haven't heard of anybody saying it's going to cost more.
Well, they never tell you that now at the start, do they?
Well, look, I mean, the nature of construction, I mean, look at what has happened this year with COVID. Who could have predicted that would be an additional imposition on our national budgets, not to mention the progress of every project in the country, including the biggest of them. And this isn't a project yet, by the way. This has to go through a full statutory public consultation through the planning process. They've already been through four non-statutory consultations, which, you know, weren't legally required, but were a good practice to have.
Well, that's kind of my... sorry to cut across you, PJ. That's kind of my point. It isn't a project yet, and they've already spent $24 million on it. Can I bring Emma in here? Emma Kennedy, by the way, it's News Talk, it's The Hard Shoulder, it's Mark Cagney. I'm talking to PJ Rudden, who's a consulting engineer, and Emma Kennedy, who's a financial analyst and founder of Kennedy Analysis. We're talking about the Shannon to Dublin water pipeline. Emma, it's fair to say that you're vehemently opposed to this.
Yeah, that's to you. Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me on. I think a lot of Mr. Rudden's points are valid. It is unacceptable that a country as wet as Ireland should have such problems with water. And there's no question that Dublin needs significant investment. I mean, Dublin is the engine of the country. A huge chunk of the population lives there. It needs investment. But it has to be the right investment. Ireland simply cannot afford to spend $1.5 billion on the wrong project. So the key question is, what are Dublin's real problems? And the answer is twofold. The main problem is the state of its pipes, and I'm sure that we'll come on to that. And the single other key risk to Dublin is the fact that it is almost entirely reliant. It's 99% reliant on the most risky type of water, which is river water. That river water, because of the nature where you extract river water and it's passed, especially at the mouth of a river, which is what happens with the Liffey, and it's what's proposed with the Shannon, it's taken at the mouth. It's already passed through towns and cities, industrial areas, sewage treatment plants and so on. So it needs a huge amount of treatment to make it safe. And when things go wrong, which with the best will in the world they do, as we saw at Leakslip, it's very real. Yet Dublin is getting 99% of its water from rivers. In Dublin, only 1% of your water is coming from wells. Now, that is not international best practice. It's not prudent. It's a very serious risk for Dublin. If you look elsewhere, Ireland is using more surface water, river water essentially, than any other country in the EU. The EU average is 37%. Ireland overall gets 80% of its water from rivers, the highest in Europe, but Dublin is way out there, 99%. Now, it's not unusual for cities when they're first founded to be built on big rivers. It's obvious. The Thames, London was built on the Thames, Paris was built on the Seine. It's the easiest place to extract water in days gone by. But as an awareness has grown of the inherent risks of river water, elsewhere they have diversified. So Paris, now gets 50% of its water from the ground. In London, it's 30%, and London also has a desalination plant as sort of an emergency backup, which it uses only as an emergency. It gets it gets water from the ground. Dublin needs to start doing that because it's really in a
okay. Emma, PJ, very upfront, said, look, he's not involved in this process. He doesn't work for Irish Water. He doesn't have a lot of the figures to hand. But you are a financial analyst, and you have a company that does data analysis. You do have a lot of the figures to hand, and you say
yes.
that Irish Water have misled both the public and indeed the Oireachtas about the costs and about what they're doing, etc. Now, that misled is code for another word, but I won't put words in your mouth. So how have they misled, and what are the figures that they're giving? Why are they so wrong by comparison with the figures that your analysis have come up with?
I've never said that they've misled on costs. I mean, costs have spiraled, but originally this project was supposed to cost $720 million. By 2080, it was $1.3 billion. We're told already that it's more than that, but there's no confirmation as to what it is. There have been a lot of misleading statements about the project overall. So if you read, for example, the press release or the press articles, they simply don't reflect in many, many examples the underlying reports themselves. So, for example, something that PJ mentioned there, you very much get the impression from listening to him that Irish Water has explored every single option on this. And if you listen to Irish Water talking about it, in front of the Joint Committee, and I was, of course, in front of the Joint Committee presenting alongside them, you get the impression that they have exhaustively looked at all other options, which simply wasn't the case. Irish Water, again, as PJ said, they inherited this project from Dublin City Council. The project's been in the pipeline, pardon the pun, it has been in the pipeline for around about 24 years. And they inherited it from Dublin City Council. When they did, they looked at, to a level of detail, 10 options. 7 of those 10 were different variations on pumping water from the Shannon to Dublin via different extraction locations and different routes. New raw water reservoirs were not even on that list, which I think many of your listeners will find astonishing. They did not even consider new raw water reservoirs, nor did they consider an appropriately aggressive mains replacement program, nor did they consider, for example, desalination as an emergency backup, which they have in London. Because desalination, as you probably know, it's comparatively cheap to build, it's comparatively expensive to operate. So in London, they have one that they don't use. It's there for emergencies only. So the notion that Irish Water exhaustively explored all of these options is simply not true. And groundwater is really one of the key issues on that. Our key case is that Irish Water needs to do two things urgently for Dublin. Number one, it needs to address the pipes. Irish Water's own data shows that if it meets nothing more than its own mains replacement, its own leakage rates, then there is mathematically no need for any more water in Dublin. And the reason for that, it's difficult to comprehend. We all know that Dublin is, or at least we all hope, and we are all anticipating that the population in Dublin will grow, that the economy in Dublin will grow, therefore, you know, more water, one would imagine, will be needed. If you fix leaks, there's a twofold effect. You reduce what Irish Water calls demand. When Irish Water talks about demand, it's actually talking about water that's actually used at the tap by you and I and by industry, but also leakage. So when it says demand is up, very often, in fact, for the past decade, every year, year on year, real water use at the tap, that's not up at all. That's down. The thing that's up is leakage. So okay. Irish Water's own data shows if they meet their leakage targets, they essentially create a whole new source of water from the leakage that they are holding back. Today, they have to put in twice as much water into the system
okay.
as is actually used at the tap.
All right, Emma, sorry. I don't mean to cut across you. I'm just running up against time here, and I want to get PJ back in for one final question. PJ, and I accept your bona fides in this, and I realise and I understand that you're not representing Irish Water, nor indeed should you have to answer for them. But if they haven't investigated all other viable best practice options, and if they're starting from, I suppose you could say, or Emma would say, the wrong place, this could turn out to be one of the biggest financial white elephants that we have invested money that we don't actually have and can't really afford at the moment, wouldn't it?
Yes, that is true. A lot of what Emma says is true, but I would say this. The the options were looked at of groundwater and desalination. Let's just take groundwater. We needn't take desalination because one of the two shortlisted options, in fact, was desalination. So they seriously went abroad internationally and looked at that. Let's look at groundwater. There's groundwater in three locations west of Dublin. It's in the Curragh. They can't take it out of there due to the Pollardstown Fen, and we all know the history of that. The Barrow was looked at. It's too small. They can't go south to Wicklow because it's all rock, and there's a small amount in Meath. It doesn't come near quantity required.
Listen, again, I'm really sorry because of time. I'm going to have to leave it here, but I would invite both of you to come back on the programme and discuss this again. This isn't a project that's going to get done quickly, and it's not going to go away anywhere, and I suspect there's going to be a lot more debate, and I look forward to talking to both of you again about it. That's PJ Rudden, consulting engineer, former president of Engineers Ireland, and Emma Kennedy, financial analyst and founder of Kennedy Analysis. Thank you both for joining us here on Hard Talk, or Hard Shoulder.